I Loved You More. Written by Space Magic and read by Chestnut Pod for Freckle Bomb Fic as part of the No Raids auction, which raised money to benefit community organizations supporting migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers in the UK and Scotland after the events of the Kenmure Street raid. They were tossed together, because they were inseparable now, into a cell that was dark and dreary, and other adjectives beginning with D. Dour, offered May, slumped comfortably against a concrete wall. Dingy. Dreadful. Tylee looked at her. Her hands fell from the shutters, from whence she was trying to cup sunlight, and her fingers began dancing around each other, as if she were trying to weave together a thought. I don't think it's dreadful. Don't you? No, she said, looking at May. I don't. The side of May's mouth quirked upwards. I'll think of something else. She listed 6 more D adjectives. Dull, dismal, disgusting, dank, dolorous, and a dirge of a place, which was technically not an adjective. But May began to hum out a rhythm with her fingers that followed the droplets that spilt from a leaking pipe in a dirge, dirge, dirge kind of sound, slow and bloated, like an overlong funeral march, and it made Tylee laugh. Tylee laughed, and it wasn't a precise little giggle, a chime of practiced warning bells, but a little uglier than she would normally allow herself. She snorted. It was rather impressive that May could make her laugh, because Tylee was dangling upside down, doing hand and headstands against those dull, dismal, disgusting, dank, dolorous walls of their dirge of a cell, feeling blood rush and gush up to her head as she tried to count the exact number of times that she had lied to Azula in her lifetime. 1 dozen, 2 dozen, 3. The numbers fuzzed up in her head, but she was sure she was in the hundreds when she counted, "You're the most beautiful, smartest, most perfect girl in the world." "Your brain is going to fall out through your nose if you stay in that position too long," said May. Tylee looked at her carefully. "Which is on you, really, but I would rather not have to clean up your leftover brain gunk off the floor and stuff it back up your nose." Tylee grinned. "That's so gross, May." She looked surprised. "Yeah, I suppose it is." Tylee spun back down, still grinning, with a little bow. No brain gunk, then. Not so dreadful. It meant having to think, though, which was a problem, because there had been no sentence, no trial, no judge or jury. They had simply been thrown together, because they were inseparable now, into the darkest dungeon without a glimpse of light, and neither of them had any idea of how long it would stretch, whether it would be days or weeks or forever, whether this would be their grave, whether they'd cross over the rushing waters like some spirit tale and haunt this dour and dreary place as creepy ghosts. May had told her she always liked the idea of being a ghost, though, because you could rummage through someone's library and flatten their cushions and rearrange someone's shoe rack into non-alphabetical order. How do you alphabetize shoes? To which May had only given her this clever, knowing smile, and no one would ever know it was you, which was deeply satisfying. Tylee stopped being afraid of ghosts. She decided then and there that May was an underappreciated comedic genius, though May would say that this was because all of her blood was still stuck up in her head. She liked to imagine what color the lights would be at her first show. Perhaps they'd be a brilliant, jarring orange, or a gentle blue that made her think of being carried far away on the crest of a wave in a wooden canoe. Perhaps there would be no light at all, and May would perform a shadow puppet show as part of her act. Tylee had suggested this. Tylee had also asked her what color she would choose if she were the director. "Well, pink, of course," said May. Tylee's hands jumped to her mouth to cover the width of her smile, and she scooped May up into a little hug that lasted half a second too long. Who could blame her? May was soft and warm and smelt lovely despite the dour dankness of their grubby little cell, and Tylee had difficulty letting go. May did not seem to mind. They had shared small touches before. So sometimes Tylee would nudge her shoulders, and May would rest her head on hers. Sometimes Tylee would reach for her fingertips, and May would let them touch and linger. Once, May's hand brushed the edge of Tylee's hair, and Tylee had sat up and asked if she would like to braid it.
Are you sure?
I don't know the first thing about doing hair. Well, that's part of the fun. We can laugh about it later. May's fingers crumpled around each other as she held Tylee's gaze. Only if you want to, though, Tylee added. A moment passed.
Okay, said May.
There was the slightest trace of a smile, and Tylee felt her heart beat a little too fast, really. When she was 8 years old, Azula had practically begged Tylee, as much as a proper little princess could, to braid her hair. She brought Tylee to an antique dresser with 6 dozen different brushes and mirrors that reached past the sky, and 8-year-old hands pulled tightly at her scalp as they tried to twist her hair into the correct place. It was a total mess, of course. Azula was biting back tears as Tylee told her with practiced delight, "Oh, it's wonderful. It's just perfect. Thank you, Azula. You're simply the best." And then wore her braid lopsided for the rest of the day without complaint. May's hands did not pull through her hair with force. May's hands moved only with gentleness.
"This is a total mess," she had told her dryly.
Tylee was leaning over a grubby puddle that had formed from the dirge drip of the leaking pipe, and in which she couldn't see much except a Tylee-shaped squiggle and a May-shaped smudge behind her, hands resting blurrily on her shoulders. She reached behind her head and felt through the web of tangles, where once there was a waterfall of hair, and concluded from touch alone that May was correct. "Yeah, it is," she said, while trying to remember that she could breathe, actually, and her lungs wouldn't be crushed if she said something that sang like the truth. "But I kind of love it, though."
"There's no accounting for taste."
They shared a look then, and a smile. May's hands still rested gently on her shoulders.
"Why?"
The question had almost been a whisper. "Why what?" May hadn't moved. Her eyes did not leave hers. Something careful about it.
"Why'd you do it?"
The scene flashed into Tylee's head again. 4 short, sharp taps. Azula flailing, with her eyes wide in surprise that the pretty little acrobat had even thought of how to disobey. She placed her back against May's. The implicit meaning, "I trust you." Tylee felt her voice soften up into something low and gentle. "Because it didn't feel right not to." "Half the truth." May had looked at her for half a moment before nodding gently. Her hands left Tylee's shoulders. The tension, too, should have left, and yet her heart still felt like a collection of tightly strung threads that Azula would have plucked until it sounded like a broken harp. But May did not seem interested in that. May didn't break things for fun. May left her well alone, for example, when the remainder of the Kyoshi warriors were transferred to Boiling Rock, and Tylee sprang into place with smiles and flustered apologies and enthusiastic demonstrations of exactly how to chi-block your worst enemies, all wrapped up in a whirlwind package that the warriors first examined with a very skeptical eye.
"You don't have to please anyone anymore," May had told her.
Tylee found it difficult to smile at that. It was true, in a sense. She didn't have to please anyone anymore, but it was difficult to break a lifetime habit of people-pleasing through putting on handspring somersault displays, to prove to a princess that she was capable and committed and entertaining, all in one fun-sized package. She was genuinely sorry, too. Maybe they picked up on that. She hoped they picked up on that. Sometimes it was hard to tell between truth and lies when they all sounded the same behind a smile, but she was being honest this time.
"You'll just have to wait and see," May had said of it. "I don't think I'd feel very forgiving about getting poked and sent to prison."
She looked back at Ty Lee.
"But then again, it's you, so maybe they'd feel differently."
May had apologized, too. It involved a sweeping bow that still looked like the picture of noble grace in an oversized prison uniform.
"I would have offered to teach them how to throw knives, but the warden doesn't particularly like it when his prisoners carry several sharp objects up their sleeves."
"Maybe you should pick up a new hobby instead," Ty Lee suggested.
May looked thoughtful. "I've always wanted to learn how to paint."
"Oh, what sort of things would you paint?" She couldn't imagine May painting delicate flowers, speckled birds, or landscapes of the far islands draped in the sun, as most court painters tended to do.
"Clowns. I was thinking about drawing a portrait series of clowns."
May had said some days before that she had been thinking about the circus. If Ty Lee had run off to become a show-stopping acrobat, May had wondered what sort of role she would have taken on if she had been possessed by the desire to suddenly throw away all her worldly belongings and travel round the world.
"I thought you hated the circus."
A small twitch of May's lips.
"Prison's not that dreadful," she said,
as Ty Lee raised her eyebrows in surprise.
"I think I could manage the circus."
She sat with her head rested on Ty Lee's shoulder, as she explained that while she hadn't quite captured her particular niche, though it was somewhere between sword swallowing and sword fighting, she had become fascinated by the idea of clowns in the meantime, and their garish face paint and hideous clothes, which should in theory be quite horrifying and yet still evoked laughter. Her hands looped around Ty Lee's as she spoke, close but never quite touching.
"I think the line between comedy and horror is a thread, if it exists at all."
Ty Lee nodded. It made perfect sense. She thought of 6-year-old Azula, scrunching up her nose when she was angry, stomping her feet because her brother had refused to pick her up for the third time that day, that his back was tired. Please, could she just bother someone else? She had watched as her mother had chided the princess, telling her proper young ladies didn't stomp their feet when they didn't get what they wanted. Azula, then, had turned to her new playmate, a little girl with pink baubles in her hair, and had smiled very prettily, telling her that she would carry her everywhere, of course. That's what princesses' playmates do. And her hands stroked her hair. Ty Lee had carried her all day, and then all the next. The third day, they fell into a pond, which her brother thought was very funny, and Azula had responded by grabbing his arm and pulling him in. Some child was coughing up water in the end. After all that fuss, Azula proclaimed that she was tired of being carried around. She would walk on her own 2 feet, thank you very much. May listened to every word carefully, without smiling once.
"It should have been a funny story," Ty Lee said in a small voice.
May opened her hands and carefully, gently, offered them to Ty Lee. She took them. She held them.
"You know, she was trying to control you, even then."
Ty Lee nodded. She knew. She had known since the day she turned 9, and found a girl with long, elegant hair in the royal gardens, who kept herself occupied in the pages of a rather cumbersome-looking book, whose smile felt like a secret that no one else had seen yet. Ty Lee tried not to look in her direction, but There was something about the way the sunlight glanced off her hair, so shiny. Azula had, of course, caught her looking elsewhere, eyes drifting towards a girl she had called a weepy little wallflower, and had snorted and told her, "Wouldn't it be funny if she got acquainted with my brother?" Tylee hadn't understood her. Wallflowers were always so pretty. But she had laughed, because Azula had said it would be funny. She had a terrible sense of humor. May grew to be someone beautiful and clever and wise that she was humbled to even know, and the soft, hesitant touch of her hands never made her want to scream or cry or shrink into her own skin behind a practiced smile. May's touch made her feel bold. It made her feel light, like she could float upwards and somehow be free. "I loved you more."
"What?"
"Than Azula. I loved you more," said Tylee, whose hands were still cradled in May's, still held with gentleness. "That's why. I always loved you more. That's the truth." May blinked. Then a soft, wide smile broke on her face as she pulled Tylee's hands to her heart, stammering and stuttering like her own. And Tylee felt herself let go of a breath, but instead of words coming out, it sounded almost like laughter, relieved and joyous, as May brought her hands to her lips and gave them a gentle kiss. "You won't let go of me, will you?" Tylee asked. May shook her head. They wove their fingers together. Their first kiss was a soft one, a little uncertain of itself still, but still very much wanted on May's cheek. It felt like the beginning of a home. This has been I Loved You More, written by Space Magic and read by Chestnut Pod for Frecklebaum Fic during the No Raids auction. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/25426657. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the Podficker, and they're very much appreciated, I can be found as chestnut_pod on the Archive of Our Own. Thank you for listening.